When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. Hour three, a little different this week with the Welsh only doing 1 hour, so I wanted to bring in my friendo, Nicholas Ian Allen. He is the owner and proprietor of CFB Winning Edge. Follow him on the Twitter at CFB Winning Edge. And he's a big, big college football guy. If you guys haven't heard him on this network or me talking with him on the CFB Winning Edge podcast, please check out patreon.com/CFB Winning Edge. Nick, how is your offseason going, man?
It's been a pretty busy off season. I know that a lot of folks in the industry, fans, you know, are at times a little bored, think it's kind of the doldrums, but we have been, you know, working behind the scenes, trying to get everything lined up, trying to sneak in some new special projects when we can. I'm working on CFF rankings right this minute, basically. And, you know, with things starting to come out, we've got some, you know, game of the year lines, some week one lines popping up here and there, and futures win totals. We've got a lot going on, plenty of updates. The transfer portal is keeping us busy as always. So plenty to do. Not yet time for me to worry about, you know, oh my gosh, it's so long until college football season.
right. Because it's really not that long, you know. It's especially when you look at the projects. And every time I talk to Nick, he is like, yeah, I finished this up, so I'm going to start on this now. And I'm like, man, why don't you come up for air for a day or two? He's like, we did something this weekend, so we're going to be okay. Now we're going to start this giant project that'll take another month. So, I mean, you are rocking and rolling in it. It is, like you said, there's no real off season, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's always something going on. I'm not much of a recruiting guy, but you know, people who follow recruiting very closely know that it's 365 days a year, and there's always something that can be done. And
yeah, you know, and the transfer portal,
absolutely,
that added just a whole new layer to your workload over the last couple of years. And now you know, the transfer rules are a little softer, but we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what exactly CFB Winning Edge does. We're going to talk about preseason bets and all that good stuff, so stick with us. We'll be right back after this In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy motherfucker.
forking shirt, boss.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman, joined by Nicholas Ian Allen, the owner and provider of CFB Winning Edge. Now, Nick, we're going to talk about some preseason bets here, but before we get into the preseason college football bets, please just explain as best you can what it is that you do at CFB Winning Edge, how can your product be used, and let us know the process of what it takes to build everything, because I know what it is. I know what VGR is and VGR Plus and all the good stuff, production points, everything that you do behind the scenes. But please explain to the audience what CFB Winning Edge is.
Yeah, so basically, we're entering our fourth season, about 4.5, almost 5 years ago now. Sort of had some extra time on my hands unexpectedly, and was trying to think of really a better way to project and predict college football games, basically season, all that good stuff. And I am a big fan of people out there like Bill Connolly, done great, you know, work in the analytics, college football analytics, really advanced some ideas there. I myself have not been mathematician. I'm not an econ major or anything like that.
You can figure out the tip at dinner, but you know, other than that, we need a calculator.
So,
right?
So I do have a football background. I coached football for a while, was really fortunate to work on a great high school staff that had several former FBS assistant coaches on it. And I learned a lot of football that way. I also worked in minor league baseball for a little while. So I learned some, things on the back end there that were helpful to me. I've written about college football and other sports for a while, but I was trying to find a way to tie my sort of diverse skill set into a college football projection, model system, what have you, and started thinking, okay, people do analytics projections on play-by-play data and look at team recruiting rankings, all that sort of stuff, and can build some great things, but nobody really goes down to the player specific level. It's just too time consuming, and there's so much to consider. You have to worry about injuries and transfers now and all that sort of stuff. Well, I'm in a pretty fortunate situation where I have all day to work about, to work on this sort of stuff. I had a little bit of a time advantage. And I said, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to try to build something from the player level. So, everybody is probably familiar with, Madden and the former NCAA football video game and things like that. The idea of an overall player rating is fairly recognizable for most college football fans. And I thought, hey, let's just do something like that. Make one of those for every player, and then from there can build it, can, make a similar type rating for each team, can make a rating, for how well a team is actually playing on the field, can break it down position by position.
Let me ask you, when you first decided to do this, did you understand how much work it was? That is something when you step into something like that. I mean, there's, thousands of college football players. So did you understand the amount of work you were committing yourself to when you first started it?
I think I did and I didn't. I think I knew that it was going to be more ambitious than anything that was out there that I was aware of. I mean, there might have been some other folks who've done something similar in the past and I just missed it. But I thought I was going to try to attempt something maybe that hadn't been done kind of to this scale. And then, on the other hand, once you actually get into it, then you start to realize, okay, maybe there's a reason why there's not something like this, at least that's publicly available, well-known, that type of thing. One, it's a big commitment, big time commitment. Unless you have a big team, especially, it takes months basically to get all this information together. And then two, to keep it updated and all that good stuff. So on the one hand, I knew it was ambitious. On the other hand, it was certainly you know, it was something that
it was a big workload, right?
It was, and I didn't quite understand it at first. And the first version I built of it, you know, we're still not perfect by any stretch. I'll never claim to be, but the first version looks a lot different than what it does now.
Right.
We've added over that, you know, 4 or 5 year period, a lot of new, you know, team based ratings and we've kind of built, I call it, you know, Frankenstein things together over the years, but we started with, hey, let's make a player rating. And that was relatively easy. Found a formula that we liked for that. And then from there, hey, we've got all these player ratings. Let's build a team rating, obviously. Okay. How's the best way to do that? Took a little trial and error, had to learn over the course of the few years, how to weight certain aspects to get a more accurate player rating, to get a more accurate team rating. Thought, hey, I want to look at what team has the best group of defensive linemen. What's the best way to do that? So figured out, okay, we're going to combine the player ratings in this way, but starters matter most. So we got to make sure we weight the starters most. You know, how are we going to show which team has the best depth, all that. So there's, you know, thousands of ideas that came up and some of them were easy to adapt and build on based on just sort of steps we've taken along the way. And others are a little more difficult still, you know, have yet to fully incorporate. But yeah, over years, it's definitely involved. And that first iteration was ambitious because I had to go through and find all the recruiting data, had to, you know, cross-reference the official team websites, had to go through, you mentioned production points briefly. That's a stat-based thing we do because, you know, our first ingredient is the recruiting rating. And then we use 247 Sports. They've done a great job. The 247 composite, of course, you know, has all the others involved.
And it's become more accurate over the years for them too.
It has. They've been, you know, doing a similar process of testing, you know, how well are they doing, making adjustments based on what they learn. And you know, I trust their work. But then experience matters. So we wait a little bit by experience, but then also you've got some guys along the way. And when we were first doing it, you know, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson were those type of guys. We're not super highly recruited former 3-star guys, but they're Heisman winners going on to be first round draft picks and that sort of thing. So I thought, okay, how are we going to get our rating for them to that 99 rating, that max rating? For us, it's 100, but you know, for most overall ratings, 99. What are we going to do? Okay, let's find a way to incorporate stats that they're going to accumulate over, whether it's a single game, because I was using the video game as a model, and that's why we call it VGR Plus, because it's video game rating.
That's why I love it. I mean, because I am someone that absolutely appreciates video games, and the NCAA game was probably my favorite video game, my most played for sure, before they unfortunately had to scrap it. But it's going to come back to us. So maybe you and I need to start a Twitch or something.
We need to get on it. And part of the reason, I guess, why I started, you know, playing around with this idea is because the video game was gone and thought, hey, you know, people I know update the rosters and maybe this could be helpful to them. Who knows? But playing the game, you remember you had a huge week, player of the week or whatever, and your guy would automatically get like an extra point. So I thought,
right,
okay, what are we going to do that? So set some criteria, set some season-long criteria, meet certain benchmarks. We don't have to dig, you know, all the way into all the minutia. But over the period of time, figured out a way that works relatively well, feel pretty good about it. Still learning, still not perfect, but it's gotten better and better each year and, you know, been pretty good for us.
Yeah, I mean, I love it, and I brag about you all the time. I talk about the record that you have on there, and of course, I love being part of the CFP Winning Edge podcast with myself, you, and Xavier. We do that once a week, too. You guys should check that out if you are a big college football fan. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about CFP Winning Edge, and then we're going to talk about preseason bets in particular and which ones we like, which ones we don't like, and all that kind of good stuff. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, Buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody, In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Please check out the ITL Patreon if you would. Patreon.com/ITL Army, where the Welsh and I have got all kinds of good stuff for you. I just posted my PPR NFL rankings for the 2021 season. I also have my dynasty rankings up there. On Monday, I'll be dropping my Superflex rankings, and we just keep going from there. We had a secret show, which I've told Nick about, which may have been one of the funnier moments that I've ever seen in my entire life over the last week, which was, it was one of those things that was so funny that I couldn't laugh at it while it was happening. It was more shocking than funny. And then I had like the late reaction of how funny it was. But you guys can check that out there. And of course, we also have the GroupMe rooms. You guys can hit us up with questions on Patreon. So please check it out if you would. We're talking to Nicholas Ian Allen, the owner and proprietor of CFB Winning Edge. Please follow him on the Twitter at CFB Winning Edge. And we were talking about how you rank every player, how much work goes into everything at CFB Winning Edge here, Nick. And please, if you can, the last thing I want to talk about before we talk about specific bets is your three model system and the accuracy that you found with them. It has been pretty damn good. So please explain how those work and the accuracy that we've had over the last year here.
Yeah, so the end goal of building all of these, you know, individual player ratings and then coming up with an overall team rating was, you know, had to figure out how are we going to test whether or not we're actually doing a good job. You know, what are we going to do with this information once we build it? And is it accurate? Can we use it for something? And developed an overall power rating for each team that is based on that same video game rating scale, where a 100 is a perfect team, you know, this team in the 60s or 70s is really, really bad. So using those was able to, fiddle with some numbers and figure out, hey, I can actually project point spreads using our power ratings model here. And, you know, started playing with that, started testing it weekly. And the first year, roughly 50-50. And basically, we've added about one percentage point each year. And, you know, last year finished with our official model against the spread. And we use midweek lines, the Vegas Insider consensus line. So not a specific outlet or anything like that, just sort of a generic line. And it's not at kickoff. It's not, you know, first of the week or any. It's basically, if it's not on Wednesday, and it usually always is Wednesday afternoon, it's roughly 24 hours before kickoff. So if it's a Tuesday night MAC game, we always release our projections that Monday morning usually. But anyway, so we last year had, you know, our best year yet. And I think that we still, you know, have opportunity to grow, but we were 54% right on the dot against the spread in our official model. And that's where this, you know, sort of original team, we call it team strength rating, where this team strength rating model, sort of the initial one, and it's got the most bells and whistles kind of built into it. But I thought, you know, we've got all these different things, and I do incorporate, you know, coaching ratings. I do incorporate just sort of specific stats, advanced stats that get folded in there. I have something I call a team performance rating, which is kind of an on-field grade based on statistics. And I kind of wanted to strip all that stuff out, and two really different models that would be very simple. One of them is talent only. I call it Talent Edge, and that just uses raw recruiting numbers, and it also includes our experience and production rated player numbers, but doesn't incorporate any stats, doesn't incorporate any coaching history or anything like that. And I can build using a similar model system, a projected point spread using just that. I can also do a stats only model. So just the team performance on field grades, just some specific stats that I like to look at, think are you know really correlated with how well a team performs on the field, and do a stats only model. I call that, that's on a similar scale to, if people are familiar with Bill Connolly's SP Plus, it's a, you know, plus or minus projected scoring margin. And I got tired of saying projected scoring margin, so I just shortened it. I now call it PRISM. So a big P, little R, SM, projected scoring margin. So yeah, but that's that I can use to do totals, you know, over unders and things like that. And also just look at a stats only look at a game. So I like the three different models. Yeah. I like to compare them one against the other to see, you know, they'll sometimes spit out very different results. There'll be some times where a team on paper is so much more talented, should beat a team by, you know, more than a touchdown or whatever. But then if you look at the stats only, oftentimes this is, you know, an Army, for example, somebody who doesn't
right.
play very well, a Sun Belt team, what have you. You know, but in the stats only model, you know, Coastal Carolina, for example, you know, last season was setting up to perform really much better in that model than our talent only model and even our official model, because they hadn't had a whole lot of success, coaching success and things like that in years past. And so that model was quick to pick up on a team like Coastal Carolina. So it's kind of interesting to compare the three and to look at, you know, a single line over the course of the week. It's really interesting to me. And I started taking note and sending these out to our supporters each week when all three of those models lined up on one yeah. side. So when, you know, the if Oklahoma against Texas, you know, if Oklahoma's a 4-point favorite and ooh. Our models are saying, you know what, actually this is a virtual coin flip, and you know, in fact, maybe Texas should be favored in this game. Well, then that's a game that we're going to bet, and we're going to make sort of a special note of that. And last year was the first year that we publicly unveiled the two additional models, the Talent Edge and the PRISM model. And it was, in some cases, I'll admit we were fortunate. There were some, you know, all those Tulsa games that were crazy. Those broke for us more often than not, I'll admit. But, you know, we had a great year. I mean, we were just south of 60%, which, you know, is
that's not really good. I mean,
not
look,
sustainable perhaps, but when those three models lined up, you know, last year was a great, great year for us. So we do pay special attention when that happens.
Yeah. The all three agree. If you're listening to the podcast, that's the section that we talk about that. And look, anytime you're over 50%, you're winning money, right? So 54%,
52.5, 53. You gotta pay to play.
You gotta bake in a little bit for the pluses and minuses. You're right about that. But I mean, come on, over 50%, you're making money. So like you said, close to 60%, like you even said, maybe it's not sustainable. We'll see come this year, but I mean, that number is incredible. So this is why I want everyone to hear about CFB Winning Edge and your product, Nick, is because, you know, there is not only is it fun to look at this stuff, especially the VGR rating, and, you know, it's good for CFF rankings too. I know that's what you said you're just doing, but there's so many things that you can do with these numbers. So there's so many different bets you can make, so many different things you can do. So I love CFP Winning Edge, but let's just talk about specific preseason betting. So we're going to get into that with the rest of this and the big segment coming up here. But is there a certain criteria for you to make a preseason bet specifically, or is it just, hey, I like these odds. I know it's a while before the season starts. All kinds of craziness can happen, but I'm going to place this bet because I think this number is too crazy. Is that really your bottom line, or are there other parameters that things have to hit for you to make a preseason bet?
So I have kind of a, as usual, a fairly meandering answer to this problem. So hopefully we don't run into this.
I love living, you know, the gray is where real life is. Black and white just doesn't do it. So gray area is where every answer should be.
So I started, you know, wanting to grade myself on this. So just started with weekly lines and things like that. But I have had experience betting in the past, just sort of for fun and things like that. And so I would actually bet, you know, the lines where it looked like, to use our brand name, I guess, the biggest edge compared to, you know, how our numbers were shaking out. And I started to notice some patterns, see some instances where, okay, this team, we're overrating, we're underrating, whatever. And so I started to learn more and more about our numbers. And then I started to take those things that I was learning and felt like I was able to apply them to some, you know, national championship futures, for instance. And the way I approach this, and I must say I'm not a, you know, professional gambler by any stretch. I'm fully self-taught. I don't even know all the correct lingo, I'm sure. So please, you know, out there, if I say something incorrectly, I apologize. But I started to notice, hey, we're much higher on this team than the odds makers. We're much higher on this team than, you know, SP Plus, than Phil Steele, than Athlon Sports, what have you, or we're much lower. And so I started to compare, to run numbers, to, you know, run probabilities, started to break it out to where, you know, I could do a full season projection, individual projected win percentages, add them up for win totals, things like that. And yeah, I started to bet those, started to have some success. The way I deal with, you know, futures is a little bit closer to what somebody might do in the stock market, buying stock in a certain team or a group of teams, and then, you know, hedge here and there, things like that. So I've kind of like a Frankenstein, the FBS team profiles all together. Frankenstein sort of my
gotta cobble
philosophy
some of those together. Exactly.
Well.
But we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk about more of parameters for preseason betting and then talk about some actual preseason bets. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wiseass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league.
This is the way.
Stop touching things.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. We're also on the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. What's up, San Diego? What's going on, everybody? I'm here with Nicholas Ian Allen, the owner and proprietor of CFB Winning Edge. We're talking about preseason bets and, you know, just what goes into a preseason bet. Because college football, you know, we've talked about this. It's not far off, but it's still 2 months off, right? So we're still waiting a little bit for the season to get kicked off here. So you can place bets, though. There, many books are open. FanDuel has, you know, Heisman odds. They've got conference champions odds. They've got a bunch of week one odds down. I mean, they have odds for games all the way through the season already. So not every game, but a bunch of games throughout the season. So my question to you, Nick, is what have you bet in this offseason? Have the lines shifted in your favor away from the bets that you've made so far? And how far out are you willing to bet? Is that just about the odds? And when you see a ridiculous number early in the season, you're like, yes, I'm going to take that. Or, you know, because I'm coming from the fantasy world, my nerdiness says to me, wait until 5 minutes before draft, before the season starts to do your draft. That's what I like. I like to have every single little tiny piece of slice of information that I possibly can before I draft. But that's not the way it works in the betting world. You're going to get better numbers the earlier that you bet. So what are the parameters for you to make your bets specifically, and what bets have you made?
Yeah, so the first answer to that, I guess, when do I want to bet is when I see value, basically, and kind of my favorite time of the year. One of my favorite times of the year is when those national championship futures are first posted, because a lot of times, at least the way I see it, that the books, the odds makers are trying to get a feel for certain teams. And it's a little bit of a fact-finding mission. And usually, all my updates for the next season won't be done in time for them to have, official updated power ratings for every team and all of that. But because I spend my entire year looking daily, team by team, what guys moving on to the NFL, what guys coming up, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. I've got sort of built in, and I've learned over the last 4 or 5 years, how our numbers work and what way they're pointing. So I have a pretty good feel, even if I don't know what the official numbers will be, a ballpark. Okay, this is a top 4 or 5 type team. This team might have finished last year 8 or 9, but they're going to start 3 or 4 or something like that. So that team, I'm thinking, if the early national championship odd opens, whatever it is, 7th, 8th, 9th on the list, there's probably some value there. So I try to highlight those. And the last couple of years have been really quite good. I got LSU at 25-1, in January of 2019, right? That's when they went on and had such an incredible year. So that, they weren't the only team I bet, but I was able to get some great value there. And last year, Alabama was 8-1 when I betted around that same time. And so, I feel like if I can concentrate on 3 or 4 teams where I think, okay, that first line or that first national championship future that's posted is too low on team X, I'm going to try to find 3 or 4 of those and hopefully be able to build in at least, I might not pick the national championship winner in that group, but maybe I pick a playoff team or something like that. And it gives me over the course of the year a chance to, build in a little bit of value that I can hedge or what have you, the last couple of years it's worked out where I've ended up betting against that team in the national championship game. Hasn't worked out that specific game, but was able to, lock in X amount of profit for the season and put myself in a decent spot for a middle if it were to hit and what have you. So I love that first national championship future opportunity. And this year, the two teams that just stuck out like a red, sore thumb for me at that time were Georgia. I thought the first time that the odds were listed, they were like 14-1 that very first day. And I knew they were going to be, I thought they had a chance to be our number one preseason team. It turns out they're our number two, but I knew that was going to be much higher than 14-1. And then Oklahoma. And I thought, they were kind of in that same boat where, I thought I was so smart about Oklahoma. I couldn't wait to bet Oklahoma. And turns out everybody else knew Oklahoma was going to be a top 3 team or what have you as well. So I didn't get as much value there, but I feel like I got in a little bit early on Oklahoma and got some value. So those two, I'm invested in Georgia and Oklahoma. There were a couple of others a little lower on the list. I was really surprised. This was in March, I think, when we had our first official numbers ready and were able to have projected point spreads for all games, which we do have. We actively, and they update automatically, have projected point spreads in all 3 models for every game in the regular season available in our team profiles. But when we first ran those official numbers, it really surprised me. Washington was favored in all 12 regular season games. And I started looking at why, and one, we're pretty high on Washington. They're like a number 11 in that first run of our power rankings. But then I started digging in. I had no idea that their schedule was as set up as nicely as it did. Absolutely. It's a very favorable schedule. And so I started to look and was like, hey, yeah, I'll throw a little bit on Washington. You know, if they're able to get to the, you know, win the Pac-12 championship, maybe sneak into the playoff, then I've got some built-in value. I can use that later is kind of my thinking. I don't expect them to win the national championship, but I was able to get Washington at 150-1. I knew Iowa State because we take experience into account, I think, a lot more.
And they're bringing in everybody back. Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, they've the way our model works, because we do experience and production, you know, if people focus solely on recruiting rankings, and I understand, you know, the blue chip ratio has shown that only certain teams at a certain level can win a national championship. You know, this year's a weird year. Everybody, yeah, you know, got an extra year of eligibility. Iowa State has taken that really into account. If there's somebody who can break, you know, break through and be a non-recruiting power and win in this era, it might be Iowa State. Don't necessarily expect it, but I was able to get Iowa State at 25, or not 25-1, excuse me. What's my...
It was a lot to one. I know that it was Iowa State.
It was a lot better then than it is now. I'll say that. But anyway, so you know, I think people have caught on, and Iowa State's not somebody I probably would bet. Unfortunately, to answer one of the questions you threw out there, a lot of these have moved in the direction, you know, to where there's not as much value on them. Unfortunately, but that's also why betting early is a great thing to do, something I like to do. But I play the national championship futures a little like a stock market, like I said. I'm not sure if that makes sense to everybody, but you know, that's kind of how I do it. I'm not going to get a full 25-1 on LSU if they win the national championship, but I'm able to use that to give me value in some other places. I also like Heisman futures. I thought Matt Corral was a little underrated early on. I don't like it as much anymore.
Yeah, early on he probably was, but now it seems like every article is talking about him as a Heisman dark horse, which no longer makes you a dark horse. You know what I mean? Right. Now you're a light horse. You know what I mean? So maybe you were a dark horse in February, but you're not anymore. So
exactly. And it's going to be weird for him to win it. Some weird things are going to have to happen. Either
they got to win some big games,
10 wins or plus, or it's going to have to be the season like RG3 had, where it was just put up a collection of numbers that just pop off, you know, the page for everybody, plus, you know, still win about 10 games probably. So it's now I don't love it as much, because I'm not sure Ole Miss has fixed its defense well enough to actually get that level of wins. But, you know, if he throws for 6,000 yards or something ridiculous, then
yeah,
it could happen. But
if he has a Lamar Jackson year, you know, you're going to win it. But that's
probably a more updated reference. I should probably stop using RG3 and say, but yeah. So, you know, there are a couple of Heisman spots. I play that similarly last year, mid-year.
Is Rattler your guy? I mean, I know you love Rattler, and he has the worst odds right now, but those odds are still plus, right? He's still plus 800 on FanDuel, which means for every dollar you put down, you're getting eight back. So, you know, so it's still a long shot for one specific person to win it, but, you know, Rattler is a good bet right now. Oklahoma's schedule isn't as hard as some of those SEC schedules. They have a couple big games to win. You know he's going to have numbers and what they do. So is Rattler kind of your favorite here?
I think Rattler is the favorite. I think he's a deserving favorite. I think what we've seen from Oklahoma quarterbacks under Lincoln Riley, it makes sense. Now he has a year of experience under his belt. I think he should be the favorite. I don't have any Rattler. I'm not invested in Rattler right now, because
I'm surprised by that. You are an Oklahoma fan this year for sure.
Well, I am invested in Oklahoma. I'm not invested in Rattler. But I don't love many options out there for the Heisman. I was.
Is there a sucker bet? Is there one that you really don't like? Is it Sam Howell because he lost all of his weapons? Like, is that the sucker's Heisman bet right now?
You know, I and you bring up North Carolina. That's a team that we're going to be talking about a lot this year on our show. Our numbers are not high on North Carolina, at least compared to what I'm seeing out.
They lost so much. Folks. Yeah,
they did. They did. So maybe Howell, you know, looking at these FanDuel, you know, what's listed there. I said I'm invested in Georgia. I think JT Daniels having the fourth, you know, fourth on the list of favorites is a bit high. The one that I kind of like and probably will bet, haven't yet, I admit, is CJ Stroud. I think he's likely to be the guy at Ohio State. Ohio State quarterbacks, the you know, what we saw last year out of Justin Fields, not saying CJ Stroud is Justin Fields, but they're favored by a lot in every game, you know, every projection we've got. And he's going to be the quarterback. If they are a national championship contender, you know, he's the quarterback. He puts up national championship quarterback type numbers. You know, I think him at 25 to 1 is something I'm interested in. Bijan Robinson is a bit of a trendy pick. 25 to 1 is, I think, I don't know if it's moved, but I think that's what it was.
That's still what it is.
January. And I did get a little bit then and kind of thought, okay, maybe it'll, you know, maybe there'll be some value there. It's basically stayed the same. So, you know, do I really think Bijan Robinson's going to win the Heisman? It's kind of a Matt Corral situation where I'm not sure Texas is going to win enough. Right. But if he just does something special and, you know, Sark's offense is just
Bijan will win the Heisman in 2022. I'm fairly confident, right? So this is going to be his first year as a full-time starter.
Devin Achane might win the Heisman.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens, right? So 2022
is coming up here. That's who I can't wait to bet in January 2022.
Yeah, see, so. We know when the bets are coming in. Sure. But we got to hit a break. When we come back, we will end out the three-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends
in This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. You hear Endless Love. You guys know what that means. Three-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Please follow everybody if you would. I am at Bogdan Sports. The Welsh is at Is It The Welsh. Bubba is at BDentric. Nick is at CFB Winning Edge. And please check out the Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. If you guys would, like I said before, we've got all kinds of great stuff for you. We've got GroupMe rooms. We've got live streams. We've got secret shows. We have all kinds of goodies. You know, if you're in the GroupMe with us, you can hit us up with questions in a DM at any point for your fantasy teams. Rankings are up there. The Welsh has over 500 minor league rankings up there. We've got dynasty rankings for baseball, for football, PPR rankings, super flex, all that good stuff. Please check it out if you would. So before we say goodbye here, Nick, I got to just ask you, is there one bet in particular right now on maybe FanDuel that you just say, hey, I got to have that bet. This is one that I'm invested in.
Yes. And as always, I'm going to answer your one with three.
Okay, two. Good. I love it. Got a minute and a half left, so do it in a minute and a half.
It'll be very quick. All right. I told you North Carolina, we're not high on. Okay, we're not particularly high on Virginia Tech. But in that week one game, Virginia Tech right now is a 6.5-point underdog at home. We have Virginia Tech favored. Do I believe it? Not necessarily, but when we see the wrong team is favored in our model, that's an automatic bet for us. Those have been 57% over our history. So, you know, I don't have a ton of confidence, but that's one. Similar situation. And this one I don't trust at all, but unfortunately it's an automatic bet for us. I have to do it. It's an all three agree. Miami plus 17. We are higher on Miami than we are North Carolina. We think Miami's the second best team in the ACC. I'm a little nervous about it. That's an automatic bet. Alabama, we've had to bet against them in this situation a bunch. It has not gone well in recent years. So I say those two grudgingly. One I really like is actually in week two. You will like this, Scott. Texas is a 3.5-point favorite at Arkansas. Arkansas was a lot of fun last year. Impressive. Took a big step forward. Texas, a lot of changing, you know, a lot of
not enough points, lines makers, not enough points, odds makers. Take Texas in week two against Arkansas, but we got to go. That's it for us. We will see you guys next week. Check out CFP Winning Edge for more bets. See you guys later.